This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
WRFL Lexington, Tyonde Braxton there from the Oranged Out EP. Man, was it ever Oranged Out. Let's see. So, yeah, he used to be the singer for Battles. And he's the son of Anthony Braxton, who's like kind of a free jazz god. So kind of a perfect fit, right? This is Mick, and you're listening to Trivial Thursdays. I am so happy to be here with you after a nice long walk in the balmy Kentucky summer. It's, you know what? It's a little after 7 in the a.m. And good morning to you. Thanks. Big thanks to Brian Connors Mankey and Keki Urch for holding things down last week when I was out teaching ukulele camps. So that was much appreciated for them to do that. And now I'm back, and we've got a good show for you. Lee Ekus is going to be here from Lexington Art League, and he's going to be talking about the giant thing that happens every year in Woodland Park, the Woodland Art Fair. And if you're new to Lexington, that's something to behold. If you've been here a while, you know. So we'll know some more. Teresa Tomb of Mecca and Selena Arnett are going to be here in the second half of the show. And they're going to be talking about a cool collaboration that Mecca Dance Studio, who is so revered for the many cool things that they have brought to town and created, they will be here. That's later in the show. What else can I tell you? I went to see Paul McCartney. I want to tell you that, you know, I'm not trying to like rub it in or anything. Well, probably I am. I don't know. I didn't think I was going to get to go because, you know, tickets are crazy expensive to see concerts now. And, I don't even know sometimes. It's hard to even know if you want to go see anybody. It's always going to sound better on your home stereo or on your headphones. So it's a weird phenomenon to even want to go see anybody. And if you're out there, you may have a secret that I share with you, which is that you can be halfway through almost any concert by like your favorite band in the world, and privately just there's a tiny voice inside of you that says, "When is this going to be over?" It doesn't mean that you don't like them or they're doing a bad show even. And especially so like for giant places, you know, giant places, stadiums and whatnot. But Paul McCartney, I thought, you know, I really wanted to go. You know, I thought it's Paul McCartney. The guy has the most giant song catalog really of anybody, any living person. You know, he can just play hits for hours and hours and hours, songs that you have known your whole life for hours and hours and hours. And so, but I wasn't willing to pay like $250 to sit like behind the stage. But, you know, you just sort of ask the universe, and I asked the universe kind of, the universe in this case is Facebook. And, you know, I found tickets that I was willing to pay for, the right price to see Paul McCartney, which for me was like $100 each. I'm like, that's what I'll pay, okay? Which is more than I would pay to see basically anybody. Except I did pay that to see Jay-Z and Beyonce. Okay, it's true. So anyway, it was great is what I'm trying to say. I mean, the guy, like I said, so A, he can just play hits for days, right? B, some lesser known things about Paul McCartney. He's 74. That's not lesser known, but he's spry. That's the word I'm going to use. He's spry. He was just kind of like bouncing around on stage and kind of goofy. And also, he's sort of, he has the great benefit. If you were to go see somebody and want to make sure that you're getting a pretty sincere show out of him, Paul McCartney's a good bet because he's richer than God. He doesn't need to do this. This is nothing he needs to do. He's doing it totally because he wants to and to make more money, of course, but mostly because he wants to, because he's got plenty of money. And so it's really great to see somebody who's been around, you know, for a really long time who really, really and truly wants to do it. You know, I think a lot of people who have been playing music for a long time would say that they want to do it when really, I don't know, maybe they're like, you know, I'd kind of rather be drinking like a tropical drink on a beach somewhere. But Paul McCartney, I really was convinced that he absolutely wanted to do it. He had a three-piece band. Well, it's a four-piece, him and the band, you know. They've been playing together for quite a few years. So those guys delivered these cannons of the popular music catalog with just exactly the right amount of reverence and innovation is probably too strong of a word. You know, they didn't ape the originals, but they just executed them perfectly, exactly the way they should be, whether it's a Beatles song or a Wings song or whatever. And he played songs from across the whole catalog, including some of his newer songs, which, you know, maybe a lot of people aren't that crazy about, including me. But I think the dude certainly has earned the right to keep writing songs. It seems to be something he likes to do. Now, you think that I would play something just just to be completely, you know, above board. You'd think I'd play something of his that's newer and be like, for instance, this. But I'm not going to. I'm playing this instead. This is Trivial Thursdays. We will. Well, that was all that perfect timing just kind of fell apart right there at the end because I pushed the wrong button. That happens in radio a lot. We will be back though. The cow sills there with the rain, the park, and other things. I like that. I like that. I don't know. That was the best they could do for a song title. I'm really fond of that song, but they're like, what do we call it? What do we call it? That one song about the rain, the park, and other things. That song, what do we call it? And then, you know, the record comes out, it arrives plomp on their doorstep, and they're like, where's, oh, the rain, the park. We didn't change the name of that song. It's the rain, the park, and other things. It could have been I Love the Flower Girl. Come on. It could have been Cascading Harps. Which I noticed there were a lot of in that song. So just to be clear, that song is not the forecast for the Woodland Arts Fair. Lee Eaches is here with me. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Mick. How are you?
I'm fine. Good. I'm good. You know, just enjoying this. I played a song for you actually before that, which was The Summer by Yola Tango. Because you came in looking so summery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or I told Mick, if you could see me, I'm wearing like a polo and shorts. I look like a schoolboy walking across campus. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm fine.
It's, you know, you're just a kind of a prep look to you.
It's also pink, which makes it all quite the pink. Better.
It's also pink and green.
So I look like a watermelon. A watermelon schoolboy.
But like here we are. I noticed last night when I stuck my head out the door to it doesn't matter. I can't remember why. And it was, you know, it was like 10 p.m. and it was like I stepped out into a soup of outside, and I'm like, oh right, it's summer.
You know, and it's weird.
Kentucky summer.
Like before the 4th of July, everybody was like summer, 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 and then after the 4th of July, in conversations I've had with people, they're like, summer's almost over. You know, I'm like, wait. It just started. It'll already be over. It's still like 1,000 degrees outside. Let it run its course, folks.
People are lots of. Maybe we've talked about this before.
I think we did.
People's tendency to be looking to the next thing.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Next weather thing.
And weather as baseline conversation.
Yes, right.
Yeah, we have talked about this.
But ours is a meta conversation.
I agree.
Ours is
agree.
A conversation
of course.
About conversations about weather as baseline conversation.
We really spent some time thinking about this since the last time we chatted.
it's you know, it's part of Kentucky, right?
The soup.
I call it the soup. And it's not over. There's lots more of it to go.
Yeah, I know. There's like two
months. It goes
months.
Until like November.
Yeah, no kidding. And people are like, October's fall. False. The beginning of October is still very warm. Like, give it a break.
So like So it's always plenty simmering for the Woodland Arts Fair.
Oh, yeah.
I'm remembering, too, a while back to just talk about a completely different event that I don't think exists anymore. Another radio station in town used to do this summer thing, and they had a chili cook-off, a chili competition.
In the summer?
Yeah, totally. Like, I'm talking, like, now.
Just what I want after a long, hot day, a steaming bowl of chili.
Yeah, it was a big competition. Like, let's all get together and try to make the hottest chili possible. Yeah.
Great idea.
At the end of July.
That's why they don't do that any longer. Somebody's like, maybe we should reconsider that.
Okay, wait a minute. I have to remember which one I'm talking about here. The 4th of July. Right. Okay, so let's flip this whole thing temperature-wise to the 4th of July parade. Did you go to that? Are you one of the few, the proud?
No, I didn't go. I was trying to think of that if I had a good excuse.
Is this pouring down rain? And
Oh, yeah. It was really miserable, wasn't it?
It wasn't miserable, but it was pouring down rain.
Well, I guess it depends on what your definition of miserable is.
It was the only miserable part was choking through what seemed like miles and miles of carbon monoxide as the 100+ cars went through the parade. I don't know how do you
the loyalists.
I don't know how you keep them. I don't know how you keep them out without curtailing their rights and taking their guns away. But all the cars and parades, But anyway, so it rained the entire time. And then afterwards, of course, lots of vendors and stuff, because they've got to, that's what it's all. You've got that big thing going on and there's vendors and everything. And everybody's like kind of soaking wet. And I'm just in my
commiserating.
My mind is thinking about what's the least pleasant thing that we could have right now, And I'm like, does anybody want a snow cone? Who wants some ice cream?
Everybody's their eyes just shift to the side of their face. Like, seriously.
Right. So, but my daughter does want ice cream, it turns out. So you go and get her ice cream.
Par for the course. That's right. With children.
But that's like a really, that's.
Sorry, that was my alarm.
Congratulations
to wake up.
On getting up way before your alarm.
No well kidding. Done. And it's like stumbling around my apartment like.
Ugh. Now we know that Lee just normally wakes up at 7:25.
Typically. I like I like to make it a little bizarre. 7:30 is a little too specific. 7:25.
Yeah. I'm like 7:06. That's what I'm all about.
I don't do well before 7:30. Like, it's physically, I stumble around my apartment, tripping over things. It's bad. Actually, on Monday, I woke up, and this is totally off topic, but woke up, and I, at 4:30, like, wide awake. Like, I just popped out of bed, like, let's do some work. So I was up, and I thought by 7 o'clock that I would be dead tired. I was still going. I have no idea. Like, as one of those people who tries to figure out, we've talked about this before. I used to be a dancer, so I was really conscious about my body, like what I needed to feed it and if I needed rest and all of that. But since I've stopped dancing, I have no clue. Like, I woke up. I was fine. At 10:30, I was like, I guess I'll go to bed. And I was
like,
10:30
in the morning?
No, 10:30 at night.
Oh, like
the
so you,
next,
you did that whole...
I was, yeah, I was the whole day. I was
4
fine.
4 a.m. to
functional. Uh-huh. Functional.
Wow.
So I don't know. Like, I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't know what it means. Maybe I was distracted. I don't know.
Like a little stretch where I would get up at 4 in the morning and then take a nap at like 10 a.m. worked well.
I thought that was going to hit me, but it didn't. I was totally fine. Worked the whole day, ran a couple miles.
Once I got a significant other, like, warm body in my bed, I found that getting up at 4 in the morning was not, it just seemed so less appealing.
And I thought, waking up, I was like, I'm going to sit on the patio, because I never do this. Like, I'm one of those people who's always going. I was like, I'm going to sit on the patio. It's going to be really relaxing.
Did you have, like, a Nescafe moment?
Yes. No. I just wanted to, like, be outside in that early in the morning, watch the sunrise. But in the distance, like, far enough away, they're building up my complex. So all you could hear was, like, beep. Beep,
oh my God.
Beep. And it was just far enough away to where your ears could register it to where it was completely distracting. This is awesome. I'm so relaxed right now.
Oh my God. Listen, we're twin brothers from a different mother, okay? Not very long ago, I'm going to make this confession. Not very long ago, I got up under very similar circumstances. And I was the only one up. I was enjoying peace and quiet in my house while the rest of my family was asleep. And off in the distance, somewhere, it's seemingly very close, was this I like go out in the backyard. I try to figure out. It sounds like it's just like a couple yards away. I can't figure out where it's coming from. I go out in the front. I can't figure out where it's coming from. Now it sounds like it's about two blocks away. So I get my cup of coffee and I actually walk in
his
my
Nescafe.
Pajamas. Nescafe. And I walk kind of around the neighborhood trying to figure out where it's coming from. And I think I'm moving in the right direction. But then I get about three blocks away from the house. And I'm like, this is crazy.
They're coming.
I still can't find it. So I get back to the house. I can still hear it, and it's driving me kind of crazy, you know, off in the distance somewhere. And I'm, like, picturing it. I'm like, it's some kind of utility truck. I don't know if it's they're laying asphalt down or something. Somewhere near here is a crew of people, you know, and they're working too early. It's, like, 6:45 in the morning. Eventually, I get in my car, and I go driving around trying to find it.
Albeit ruining the entire concept of a relaxing morning.
And I wind up over on the east end, and finally I zero in on the sound, and what I'm parked in is the parking lot of a apartment complex that has the great misfortune of living directly behind the Jif factory.
Oh.
And Jif has this special sound that happens sometimes. Not all the time. I don't know if it means they're making peanut butter. Or maybe it means they're making, is it called goobers? I don't know, whatever.
The one right. That's like. Yeah, the striped one?
Maybe that's what happens when they make the striped one. The sound that carries for miles, you know. And I even made a video of it. Maybe I'll post it. A video of a factory that's not moving, but it's making
noise. Do you hear that?
Yes, that's, you can hear it. So I'm sorry to share that with everybody.
No,
I'm sorry at all.
No, I think it makes a good point. You can wake up early thinking you're going to relax, but you're not. You're going to find something to prevent you from relaxing. That's the moral of this story, ladies and gentlemen.
We're telling our morning audience to sleep in. So sleep in.
Even the show will distract you.
This is Mick. It's Trivial Thursdays here on WRFL, and I'm here with Lee Eaches of the Lexington Art League. And we are even going to talk about Lexington Art League things. We really, really, we are. And
If
we've got time for it. So, but maybe let's see. It's like 7:30 now. And, you know, I was looking for the right kind of song to play for the Woodland Arts Fair, and I don't think we found it in the rain. The park.
Let's hope not.
And, which, you know, then that just puts me on to, you know, what do I got here? I don't know. I'm just going to play. Now the pressure is just really on.
No pressure. This is totally a low pressure situation.
Right. Well, then, so. Do you care if I just play Extraordinary Machine by Fiona Apple?
No, I think that's just as well.
And then we'll come back and talk some more about stuff and things. Because this is WRFL Lexington, your only alternative left, and Trivial Thursday. So this is the kind of thing that we like to do. So won't you stick around? I sure hope you will. We'll be back. Extraordinary Machine there from Fiona Apple. This is WRFL and Trivial Thursdays. I'm your host, Mick. And I'm here with my friend Lee Eaches of the Lexington Art League.
Konnichiwa.
You can't say wa on the radio here.
Sorry. I take that back.
So anyway, we're just kind of just musing on assorted things. So but not too many sorted things yet.
No, not yet.
What is the forecast for the is the Woodland Art Fair this weekend?
No, it's in August 20th and 21st. Okay. But I mean, okay, this is the thing. I don't know if this is like in August in Kentucky, but I was looking at the forecast like 3 days ago, and I have having friends in town this weekend. From a different location. And I was like, oh, it's great. It's going to be perfect weather for them. And this was literally 2 days ago. And it was like a bright sun on my phone. And then yesterday I checked and it's like storm clouds and lightning bolts. I'm just going to go ahead and say it does that. Like it switches that quickly in Kentucky. Like forecasts?
They reprint the Farmer's Almanac actually every other week. You know? It's like that sort of impossibly accurate book that goes way back where a lot of times before there were weather apps.
Right.
There was the Farmer's Almanac, which is this book that would make weather forecasts for the entire year. And a lot of people were like, oh, my God, it's right.
Maybe I'll reference that then. Yeah, these apps, I don't know. So to go back to Woodland then, I don't know. It could be.
I was thinking.
You know, you got to pray it won't rain. But if it does, it'll go on.
I actually had a great time there. As I just remembered that I had a great time last year there in the rain.
Yeah, it rained a bit.
I rode my bike over with my daughter, and right as we got there, doom thunderclouds rolled in. It started pouring down rain. It really did. And we were gathered communally around assorted things that you could take shelter under with people, and then you get to actually. There's the potential to have like meaningful exchanges
face to face. You know, something that we're going to do this year is a booth space called Share a Stare, which is inspired by a performance piece that was at the Museum of Modern Art in New York.
Okay.
So, and because we want people to not be looking at their phones. Ironically, we've printed QR codes on all of the maps so that people will actually be able to look at their phones to know where they're going. Beside the point. So it's just something cool, I think, to get people to interact with one another. And I think you make a good point. When it does rain, you know, what's so awesome about the Lexington spirit with Woodland is that people keep on keeping on. You know what I mean? They're there for the fun of it. So it's nice that it's become an event beyond just about purchasing art, which is obviously important, but also about, you know, sharing the city together again, which I feel like doesn't always happen in the
summer. Right.
So... that's what we're hoping to do this year with some new engagement activities to get people, yes, about purchasing art, yes, about drinking beer, but also about getting to know each other, hanging out. So we'll see how that goes. May flop.
Now, I noticed this year that, at least according to the Facebook event, this is the first time that it hasn't been, and maybe just someone got the Facebook event wrong. It hasn't been massively branded up on the front end, so it's not the... It just says Woodland Art Fair.
Yeah, we have a brand for it, but we've been in this weird experience where people they never know that the Woodland Art Fair is co-produced by Lexington Art League and LFUCG Parks and Recreation. And there's something special about that. We don't want to be, oh yeah, well, we do the art fair. You know what I mean? That seems very – we don't want to have ownership of it necessarily. We want people to feel like it's its own entity, and we just happen to be the people who are fortunate enough to get to produce that each year. So steering away from like trying to brand it with Lexington Art League stuff, we've got, you know, slowly rolling out the collateral for it. So people will identify it with these little adorable woodland creatures, like little squirrels and raccoons.
I don't think it's really nice of you to talk about the vendors that way.
Just to be clear, these are stickers we're having made, not the vendors. Although maybe some of those guys are squirrels and raccoons. I don't know.
Some of those people are approached being woodland creatures. Yeah. when we're all woodland creatures for one weekend.
Ah, he speaks the truth.
Wipes the sweat off his brow. So, like, I mean, you guys expect, like, I don't know, like 10,000 people or something.
70,000
people. 70,000
people. Imagine 70,000. I don't know where do they park? I feel like
there's another baseline conversation.
Yeah, whenever you say there's 70,000 people who come to the Woodland Art Fair, there's my alarm again. Everybody says.
Wake up, Lee.
That was, what is it called?
The snooze.
The sleep. Yeah, snooze. Yeah. So yeah, 70,000 people. Whenever you bring that up in conversation, the immediate response is, "How do they all fit in Lexington, and where do they park?"
That's another baseline conversation.
True story. And I'm like, I physically have no idea, but I guess you could do a survey if you wanted, figure that out.
We're like getting all the baseline conversations when you
talk.
Well,
that's what we do. That's what we do. Well, I think, like you said, we're building on those baseline conversations.
This is the meta baseline conversation.
It's gonna all in good fun.
A regular theme, actually. A regular feature of the show.
That and my alarm sound.
Well, that's what we use that as like kind of the kicker for when we start to do this little feature of the show, and we'll start it out with the kicker being the alarm sound of Lee. Baseline conversations with Lee and Nick.
It's like that one SNL skit from back in the day with Molly Shannon and Sherry O'Terry that was like the they were bakers. Do you remember this? It was like from the late 90s. Anyway, that joke is lost, but if you guys should try to find it on YouTube.
Let's see. Yeah, just test your Google skills. See how few words you can use to get the thing that you want. That's like my private.
Is that
hobby.
A new thing?
That's,
yeah.
That's the bar of entertainment for me, kind of, is like to see if I can get, you know, what I need.
Mine is like the opposite end of that. I try to be as specific with as many words as I possibly can to really distill it down to what I know I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my own.
Control freak much?
I was about to say, maybe that's my own obsessive compulsive disorder shining through. You called it.
So, let's see. What's going on with what's something like you mentioned the steps. I'm not sure if I really got a clear
the steps.
Is that what you call it? The step? This is what we were talking about, cell phones and talking on cell phones and not looking at cell phones and the Willen Art Fair. And I thought you said that you guys were
share a stare.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Steps. Yeah. Steps. Same thing.
That's today at noon.
So our the educational and contextual learning director at the Art League has really been looking at ways that we can make the Woodland Art Fair beyond just purchasing art, because we want people to like participate in creating their own art and getting to know one another, participating with their community. So one specific element is going to be there's going to be a drawing station that will be facilitated throughout the whole fair, which will be cool for people just to, you know, draw whatever they see on the ground. We're going to have easels up. Another component
is... They can draw things that are not on the ground, too.
Yeah, right? Whatever people want to draw is the point. We just want to get people drawing. And then share a stare, which will be sharing a stare with... a stranger for as long as you're comfortable. And it was inspired. I can't remember the artist, but
it was like a physical stare. You're like standing
literally
on a stare.
No, S-T-A-R-E.
Oh, all this time,
oh my
like,
God. We could build.
Step.
We can create these layers. We could put it on a staircase. You're onto something. So it's just sharing a stare, like S-T-A-R-E for our friends.
This sounds awkward.
Well, I think that's part of the point. It's just to maybe not make it awkward anymore,
right?
Because we are so used to staring at our cell phones. And then we're also doing something similar that we did last year, was the Wishing Tree, where people were able to Stacey Chen did this installation on a tree. They were able to make a wish, and people could put that on the tree itself. But now we're going to do dreams. So it's going to be this big space around the tree. Where people can walk inside and physically write down their dreams. Mm. And they can post it if they'd like on the inside of this tent space. Or they can just keep it with them. But it's meant to be a moment inside of this super busy and crammed with people process where you can just take a moment for yourself out in the fair but outside of the fair to think about you. Which, you know, is interesting because so often at the fair it's hanging out with friends or purchasing art for people for the holidays. But this is about just yourself, which, you know, these things, they only work when people participate. So we hope that it's something that people respond well to so that we can continue to investigate those things in the future.
But you don't want too many people to participate because then it would be too full inside of the thing around the tree.
Yeah, I mean, but that's okay, too. Yeah, you're right. Some kinks that need to be worked out.
You can just, you know, it's like a one-in, one-out policy.
Sort of.
Like a big, burly security guard.
You can't go in yet. It's not your time to write down your dream. Keep your dreams
like
to yourself.
Really big, mean-looking. It's like the kind of guy that you get from, like...
Me. I'll do it.
That's right. There you go. In your pink polo shirt.
Pink and green.
Pink
Let's
and green.
Get it right. Khaki shorts.
So this is like... So it's kind of like, I'm picturing like kind of a curtain wall or
yeah,
something
exactly.
like that around a tree.
So I guess it's like 6 foot high. It's going to be bright orange. So all of these engagement activities will be marked by bright orange. Mm-hmm. Just so people know that they're meant to be interactive.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's great because,
yeah,
you know.
It'll be interesting.
If you've seen enough wind chimes, then you want to go maybe do...
write down your dreams.
Right.
Totally. Buy a wind chime. Buy a dream catcher. A horse painting on a piece of driftwood.
There's so much.
It's really,
it really is so much.
The
more
world
than
is
that.
Your oyster at the Woodland Art Fair.
Drink a craft beer. There's just craft beer
and sangria
overfloweth in every direction now.
It wouldn't be Lexington without it.
which has not been true for all that long. But now it's like.
It's how long has it been that that's like that?
Gosh, I mean, since the first drop, it's hard to say. But like,
2013, do you think?
Maybe a little before that. Okay. I'm going to just say just in general in the last 5 years is
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And apparently there's still room for more craft beer places because I think there's still more that are going to open.
I guess you could never have too much craft beer.
I enjoy it myself. So,
I do enjoy it.
Let's see. So this is Trivial Thursdays. Lee Ekus is here from the Lexington Art League. And we're talking about the Woodland Art Fair, which is,
August 20th and August 21st.
20th, yeah. A Lexington tradition.
Indeed.
Going back 700 years.
No, or 41.
To the assorted. Yeah, I don't know how it's, I don't know what the crowds were like at first. I wonder. Yeah. All I know is, there are probably some people around Woodland Park that plan their vacations around this.
Oh, I can only imagine. When you talk to people who live in the park, they're like, my first instinct is to think they're all excited about the Woodland Art Fair being there. I'm like, oh, yeah, you live right by the park. You get to go to the fair. They're like, no. Nowhere near the fair. I'm like, ooh,
it's
okay.
Just, yeah. I guess it's epic. It's epic over there.
It's been a while since I've been. Not because I've just been skipping it because I worked at the Art League, but I haven't, I started the Art League after last year.
You plan your vacation.
Yeah, I too plan my vacation that way. But the last time I went, I just remember thinking this thing is enormous.
And that's part of why we can jest a little bit because it's such a smash.
And it's,
hit.
Like you said, it is a tradition and it's enormously celebrated in the community by, sponsors and artists alike. I mean, people are literally calling the office every day. Can I get in the Woodland Art Fair? And it's funny, people are still asking if they can apply to be in the fair. And it's like, that application closed in the winter. So, sorry.
That would be me, actually.
Mick on. Actually called yesterday to see if he could get in.
Come on, please.
I kid. But yeah, it is great. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's 2 days of nonstop art entertainment. Parks and Rec have gotten a really awesome list of bands that'll be playing, available on our website too.
Yeah.
So,
do you know any of those?
It's sad because when you're planning the Woodland Art Fair, you don't have time to process anything. You just respond and react to everything. So
that's like when I interview my guests on my show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So they send me a list of the artists, and like my thought process is not, who are these people? And I wish it could be, but maybe on the day of it will be, but it turns into being like, okay, I need to get this on the website and I need to get this to the printer to put on a billboard and, respond, react. So I'm hoping it'll slow down a little bit to process all of the goodness that is the art fair.
Just so you know, if you Google Woodland AR, that's enough in the world of Google. It's like, oh, you're talking about the Woodland Arts Fair.
I should give Google a little more credit than I do. I'm usually super specific because I don't think it's going to know what I want.
It looks to me like, if I were just looking, which I am, it looks to me like Jessie Lane Powell is performing. She's a great jazz singer. Patrick McNeese Band is performing.
Yeah, these are all correct.
Butch Rice, Custom Made Bluegrass, Blue Steel. Well, there's a freaky bug in here.
Yeah, it's kind of
Hong
big.
Shao, Dan Trisco of Velvet Elvis, sort of epic band in Lexington from back in the day, who made a national splash. And I saw Dan not too long ago playing guitar with, I'll come back. and it was great to see him. I was like, oh my God, Dan's a great guitar player. Mecca. So Mecca, I guess, Rakatu Gypsy Dance, yeah. I suppose, is performing. Teresa of Mecca is going to be here in just any minute.
Oh, now. Cool. I've actually never met her.
Well, she's on Gypsy Time, so she's supposed to be here any minute. It'll be a little later than that. Ben Lacey, who is an unbelievable
force. Yeah, so great.
To watch Ben Lacey is to see a prodigy verging on almost a spectrum disorder sort of thing. It's the way he plays guitar.
It's
he plays
true.
Like 87 instruments on the guitar at the same time. And it was pointed out to me by a good friend of his, if you're in a bar and you're watching Ben Lacey astound you with with his 12 counterpoint version on one guitar of a Steely Dan song, and you just can't believe that he could do all that stuff. He's also probably just watching the game on TV.
Oh, totally.
On TV above the bar while he's doing
I've seen him before, and I was going to say that just that thing. He's like, he transcends, like, he's not playing his instrument. He's like gazing off in the distance. He looks almost like bored. I want to say, like, it's just so natural to him. Yeah, he is incredible.
He's like astral projecting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ben's there. So, yeah, there's lots of great musicians on Saturday and Sunday.
So, again, if art's not your thing, you've got lots of music to keep you entertained and lots of craft beer.
Yeah.
And food vendors, too. I think our map, we just put that up on the website yesterday. So tons of food vendors are going to be on site with food trucks, coffee, all kinds of goodness.
I'm seeing lots of cool stuff here. Let's see. I am not seeing the food vendors. But, you know, to get back to our scathing parking commentary, there's a shuttle service. You can just take the bus.
There is. We're trying to make it as easy as possible. And I think people don't always realize that subtle shuttle service is there. So take advantage of that from the Herald Leader parking lot and then straight down to the park. So you can park your car there and take a shuttle on in and carpool. I can't tell people how important it is to carpool for something like this.
I see that there's baby care, but I don't think that means you can drop your kid off.
No. Just if you need to change a diaper.
There's a bike check.
There is a bike check, courtesy of Broke Spoke.
I'm always fascinated by that whole concept. I'm like, oh, I'll check my bike myself. Or not. I don't know.
I don't even know.
Like a bike parking lot.
I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. What is a bike check?
I'm picturing a parking lot full of bikes.
Okay.
I don't know.
So kind of like a coat check at a swanky event, but it's with your bike.
Let's see. It says here, not walking or driving to the park. Park your bike. A bike check at Woodland Park will be at the racquetball court on High Street.
Thanks there you go.
Spoke. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, I guess there's only so many. It's probably especially valuable for this since, you know, there's a finite number of bike racks. And then, you know, chaining your bike to a tree is sort of increasingly frowned upon.
Yeah,
these days,
and you don't want to pedal it through the park the whole time you're there. Yeah. So we're just doing our part to make it easy.
There's all kinds of stuff going on. So I don't know if people want to find out more. They can do what I did.
Absolutely.
They can use their search engine of choice and type
investigate
in Woodland AR.
That's all you got to do.
Keep going if you have to, but you know. And then you can find out what you need to know about.
Ask Jeeves may not be as quick as
just go to Dog Pile.
Ah, the good old days.
Oh my gosh. Google. What a stupid name, Google. They'll never be successful.
I remember I think I was a sophomore in high school in my world history class, honors world history, I do believe it was.
Oh, yeah.
And we were learning about search engines, and Google was the first one that we discussed.
Yeah. Man,
to reminisce. But there was also Ask Jeeves and Dogpile and, like, a whole laundry list of search engines that you could go to.
Netcrawler, maybe, I think. The good old days. For some reason, there's still other search engines.
Are there?
A company called Yahoo.
Oh, right.
Maybe they use Google search results. They probably do.
MSN, is that still?
All these things on the internet, I don't know. How do I know? Let's see. Well, I don't know. You've still got an artist in residence.
We
over
do,
there, right?
Yeah. Daniel Graham at the castle.
At the castle.
it's evolving. So just a quick lowdown for folks: the in residence program that we have at Lexington Art League is a 3-month residency for an artist, where they're given everything they need to create. So Daniel's been in the house, literally working every day since the start of June. And then tomorrow we're actually doing a fourth Friday with him, this next installment before his exhibition officially opens in August.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the chance to speak with him last Wednesday. And my family is very important to me, and I always get a little misty-eyed when people talk about their families. And he was talking – his exhibition is called The Less You Say, and he's sort of recreating the history of the Loudon House. But so much of it has been informed by his family. It's himself. So he was talking about how you know, he's never been away from his daughters for this long. He's a professor at Georgetown College, and they live in Georgetown, so they've just been able to pop over if they're around. But he was saying that being in Lexington, they've not been around, and his kids are always like, well, Dad, where are you? Why can't we come see you today? And he's like, well, I'm in Lexington. So this whole idea of the house, he's taken and he's had honeycomb homes made by bees. They've actually been little worker bees that have made the honeycomb that he's creating into these houses. And it's a reflection of his own home. And he's going to pour honey into each of his children's bedrooms.
This is trippy.
Yeah. And he's made these beautiful, and he's a woodworker, as you guys probably know if you've checked out the website. But he has built these beautiful tables that have bee carcasses in some of the legs. So there's these little glass sections that you can see the bees inside. It's really fascinating. And it's, again, because these bees work so hard to make their home. And we're investigating the history of the Loudon House. And then he's instilled it with his own backstory of his home and his life with his family. So it's really cool. It's really fascinating. And in another instance, can I keep going on this?
Yeah, totally. So this is this installation that he's been doing inside the Loudon House. And the Loudon House is already, just to underscore things, a fascinating, you know, building in and of itself, as well as being the home to the Lexington Art League. This is over in Castlewood Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so and your artist in residence has been transforming the inside of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just art on the walls. He's created these – he's a woodworker, so he's created these enormous ladders in the library and these tables that I was talking about with the honeycomb houses on top of them. And then in another instance, he noticed that in one of the galleries, natural light has never hit some of the walls, which is on its own a really fascinating concept. Mm-hmm. And artists could do so much with that idea, but he's created these Victrolas out of wood. He's made them by hand.
Oh, you were talking about this last time.
It's awesome. And so he's tracked the lighting patterns that do come into that space, that specific gallery, on butcher paper. And he's transposed those light patterns, or he is transposing those light patterns onto the walls as if they're music being played out from the Victrolas, and he's stitching it into the walls. So it's this exhibition that when you think, oh, woodworker, you just think tables or chairs, but he has literally transformed the way you think about this house. And it's very intellectual, but the way Daniel is able to describe that to folks is incredible, because he's not somebody who you would picture as being, you know, that serious or that I say not that intellectual, and I don't mean it rudely, but he's just a regular guy, but he makes it super relatable and super understandable. So it's nice to have him around the house for people to ask questions to and to really get that conversation going.
Do you mean that he doesn't seem like a weird art guy?
You said it. I didn't. I wasn't going to go there, but
I have a bad habit of doing that.
That's so okay. And I appreciate that, because then it makes you look like the bad guy. And
that's my specialty. And I like to look stupid.
Though you are not a bad guy.
I'm so frequently wrong. That's kind of one of the features of the show. Also,
also what I appreciate about the show.
So I know I went on. Let me be wrong for you.
That should be what the show is called. Let me be wrong for you.
No, but this sounds so great. I've got to come down and see it.
You really do. Yeah,
I want to see this, because it also seems like the kind of a classic opportunity to sort of meander around the Loudon House.
Yeah.
In this case, almost in sort of in search, almost in a Mr. Magoo kind of way, in search of all these modifications and sort of
Just changing the space itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes I find with art, people are afraid to ask questions because they don't want to seem like they don't know. But with a medium like this, what Daniel's doing with wood and this craftsmanship, there's something, and I've observed it when people walk through the house, they want to ask questions. They want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great, because that's part of our mission. We want people, we've always said, we're not here to tell people what to see. We're here to show them what all there is to see. So mm-hmm. this is just one other of those examples. You should come for mm-hmm. sure.
So people can catch this installation, since it's it's up until when, and what kind of hours can people catch this?
So the exhibition will not be fully up until August.
Okay,
it's a residency. Daniel's working sort of nonstop, but it's been evolutionary since June. So there are a few pieces up in June. There'll be a few more parts of the installation up in July. So mm-hmm. for tomorrow's Fourth Friday, and then it kicks off in August, and then it closes September 23rd. That'll be the last time anybody can see this exhibition.
Okay.
But you can stop by the galleries anytime between Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the show is up, sort of like what you would typically think of with a gallery space. This is really meant to be interact with the artist, learn more about his process, because that's what the residency is
right.
letting him have a platform to do his work, but also for people to come watch an artist work.
And that's what, so there's like a lot of opportunity here for, like you said, Fourth Friday
mm-hmm.
is tomorrow, is
yep.
that right?
Yep,
actually,
you
hadn't said that. I'm just helping you say that. And if you like to go and like, you know, mingle and rub elbows with people and,
sure.
and have. And
drink
have,
a little, eat a little.
Yeah, you can do that and see some of this stuff.
And Small Batch will be there.
Oh, Small Batch is playing. That's
yeah.
great.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that's one way of seeing it. Or you could go during normal gallery
yeah.
hours when it's really sort of sparse in there.
Yeah, it's quiet and Daniel's just working. Tomorrow, you know, it's a little showier.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd rather see the process, the real process, come Tuesdays between Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 to 4, and he'll be there. Actually, next Wednesday, we're doing a coffee and conversation with him, too. So it's very intimate. We get coffee brought in, and people just sit down, and Daniel does like a little sort of workshop, shows some of his work. And by work, I mean the actual process of wood carving that he does all by hand with tools that he's made.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bizarre because so much of that stuff is manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you just chat with him, and he's great to chat to. You get him started, and he just goes. And that's great.
And so for people who are just kind of juggling a variety of schedules, how long will Daniel's installation be up? Although at this point, it must be hard to think about it ever coming down.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it'll be up through September 23rd.
Okay.
So again, the full exhibition is up August 27th. Where he'll be doing a lecture. And then another Fourth Friday will happen in September. 6 to 9 for both of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got plenty of time to come see it, but if you want to really see it as it evolves and in its sort of infancy,
mm-hmm.
now is a good time for that.
And 10 to 4 are the typical hours?
Tuesdays through Thursdays, okay. Yeah, the gallery hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, just to be clear, because this can be confusing for some people.
I know, so many times, so many dates, so many.
The doors to the Loudon House are sometimes
locked,
but you push
there's
a buzzer.
Bell. Yeah, yeah, and sometimes we, like, if we know people are coming in, it'll be propped open.
Yeah.
If not, just ring the doorbell. If that doesn't work, beat on the door, we'll come mm-hmm. get you in.
Yeah. Awesome. Lee Eich, just so much fun to visit with you.
Yeah,
always,
you too,
always
mate.
Love when you come to visit. We'll catch up. We'll catch up some more another time.
Yeah,
right?
Sounds good to me.
This is Trivial Thursdays. We're just going to take a look. I'll tell you what, we'll go out with some Small Batch. How about that?
Perfect.
They're playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, 6 to 9.
At the Loudon House. So, for Fourth Friday. So, this is True Loves from Small Batch right here in Lexington. WRFL, this is Trivial Thursdays.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM, and of course via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Just a peaceful moment there with Kate Bush. Oh, England, My Lionheart, from the album Lionheart. I'm here with one of my favorite Kate Bush fans, Teresa Tomb of Mecca.
Yay!
Hello.
Go, Kate.
I just say, like, let's play a Kate Bush song. You're like, okay.
I'm on it.
And then kind of tying back to Lee Eaches, we had probably didn't hear it, a long-form conversation about things like, I don't know, it's not worth rehashing, but Suspended in Gaffa came up.
Yes.
And then it came up with you. Yes. And then I couldn't find Kate Bush's version of that amazing song by Kate Bush.
It's an amazing song.
But I did find a version by Rah Rah Riot, which hopefully went over better out there than it did in the studio. that was from the Rum Line, Rah Rah Riot's version of Kate Bush's Suspended in Gaffa. And I don't know. I don't think I played anything else, but here we are.
Here we are.
Selena Arnett is here, who I haven't seen in forever. Hi, yes. Selena.
Hi, it's great to be here.
It's good to see you. We've been talking about, I don't know. We know each other from, I know both of you guys from Mecca, basically.
Right.
From Ricardo Gypsy Dance, from all the cool stuff that Mecca's done over the years.
Beginning, from the very beginning.
We met because I was the curtain designer of the original Mecca.
You did, the beaded curtains. Yes, that's what we call you in for, Mick.
That's right.
We need some beaded curtains.
Yeah, and I'm there for you. I was there for you. I'm like, you need beaded curtains? I will try to figure out how to do that.
Yes, they were awesome.
Right. That was down in the limestone days.
Yep. Yeah.
The mayonnaise and french fries days.
The mayonnaise and french fries, steak fries.
Am I right?
Yeah.
From Blackberry
Cobbler.
Yeah.
Those were the mainstays.
A lot of people don't know that a lot of Ricotta Gypsy Dance ran on snacks from Columbia's, just two doors down.
It was hard to resist. You come into the studio and you'd smell the yeast rolls baking. You're like, I think I have time to eat before class.
Now, Mecca has been going strong for, God, how many years now?
17?
17! How is it possible?
I know. Gosh, last year we were able to drive, and pretty soon we'll be able to vote.
are you going to vote for Trump, do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Y'all got to keep your beads and stuff. I mean,
I know.
There's some people in this country that want to take your beads away.
They will not have our beads. Yeah.
Your Zills.
Yeah. My
people want to take your Zills away.
They could be dangerous. They should be licensed. I don't know. I've tried.
Zills are those little finger symbols, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
For, ching, ching, jigga, jigga, jing,
yeah,
jing,
for
jigga, jigga,
those jing. That can't see Mick doing his finger symbol gestures.
Yes.
His fingers are very active right now. yes. Tiny, tiny little finger symbols that you ching, ching, a ching.
Ching, 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 a ching, a ching, 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 a ching. Let's see. It's only surpassed in ubiquity by doom doom ticka doom doom ticka doom. Everybody now, doom doom ticka doom ticka doom.
Get your melody on.
So we're sort of making funny little jokes about Ricotta Gypsy Dance in some ways, but which has existed.
And we dropped the Gypsy Dance part.
Oh right, that's right. So what is it?
Well, Ricotta for short, or okay. The Moving Theater of Ricotta.
Okay.
So
now Ricotta predates Mecca, I think, doesn't it?
Yes. We were a ragtag group of dancers, belly dancers, that all were under the direction and tutelage of Suzanne Armetta back in the day. And she passed away unexpectedly, but we all wanted to carry on dancing and preserve what she had taught us and continue to study. And so out of that, Ricotta was born. And
this is nearly 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're Ricotta's coming up on
crazy.
The 20th anniversary very soon, in the next, I think, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, so, yeah, we were just little renegade dancers, and we started dancing at the Woodland Art Fair, and that was, like, that was one of our first, we kind of busked it, and then they hired us to come every year since.
I'm feeling a missed opportunity here to have talked to Lee Eaches, who's just in here, you know, about, I did not realize that that was the sort of early moment of Rikadu.
It was, because between that and then I had been performing with Catawampus, and then so Rikadu did some performances with Catawampus as well. So those were like some of our
Catawampus, kind of Lexington's grooviest band.
They were groovy.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
80s even, I guess. 90s.
Yeah, I guess.
How did Joel describe, like, Joel sort of toned the whole thing down not too long ago and, like, gave Joel Crisp, who was the kind of lead Catawampian.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people that went to see Catawampus, just, like, they were this kind of cosmic band to us. But Joel, like, I don't know, understated it really hilariously a few years ago. I can't remember what it was that he said.
Yeah, I can't.
We were just like he said something like, I don't know, I guess we were just like a bar groove band or something like, I don't know. He kind of undersold it.
Yeah, I think that's his hindsight being demure or something.
Boogie band, that's what he Boogie said. Something band. Like that, which I would never describe him as
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that's a retrospective like look yeah. at it. But, but, you know, I think really... you know, they did the reunion show a couple of summers ago, and I mean the turnout for that, and just like how much it meant to people, like, you know, people talking about like, oh, when I used to go see that band, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and I don't know, I think it was much more than what he is trying to sell it there.
That's right. He was lowballing it.
Yeah, totally.
Because there were so many old hippie dudes who couldn't wait to take their shirts off to dance.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, yeah. What a sight.
Anyway, so you were saying that you danced, and maybe a couple of the original Rikadu dancers would sort of, that would be kind of like a feature of.
Yeah, I was, you know, I toured with them for a while, and then sometimes we would do like opening slots for them, like at the old Lina's and stuff like that. So usually with you know, Dave and Trip driving it mm-hmm. for us, and so yeah, and then that's kind of how we got started with, you know, doing. Improvisation with live music, so.
And then, let's see. So, by the way, this is Trivial Thursdays. I'm talking to Teresa Tomb of Mecca, and Selena Arnett is here too. Selena, you're a Rikadu dancer emeritus.
Yes,
is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually saw them perform for the first time at Woodland. And thought it was great, and went and got involved and started dancing with Rikadu for a little bit, and definitely come
a little
back.
Bit meaning years, I
yes.
believe, just to be clear about that.
Time flies when you're dancing.
Yes. It does.
So, and this is, I mean, I just always like to give as many props as possible to. I don't know. There's so many things that Mecca has done, but Rikadu, the Rikadu dance troupe.
Yeah.
Is nationally known, and you guys have performed all over the place.
Yeah.
And just remain a force in a lot of ways. Now, I am curious about because Teresa, you go around and do workshops, like you go to like the West Coast and do workshops mm-hmm. and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is like it's an international phenomenon. What you used to like to call, or I don't know what the, I want to get back to the getting rid of the gypsy dance part, because
okay.
we talk about American tribal style dancing,
right?
Which was something that you guys kind of embraced,
right,
early on, and absolutely introduced this area to completely. And that's this phenomenon, and it brought dancers from all over the place. Jill Parker, I believe, is coming,
right. She'll be here at the end of August, the 26th through the 28th, and she'll be teaching workshops, and then we're doing a show at 21C that Friday. So, yeah, and this, I don't know, this will probably be her fourth time here, I would say. So, yeah.
Jill, who's kind of famous was, in those circles for Ultra Gypsy and then...
Ultra Gypsy, Foxglove Sweetheart. She was one of the original Fat Chance Belly Dance girls and then split off from... Which, you know, Fat Chance was is the, like, mothership of American tribal style belly dance. And
coming from like, the Bay Area of California.
Yeah.
Where it's just been all the rage for
30 years. But, you know, now, I mean, Carolina, the director of Fat Chance, I mean, it is, ATS is, you know, internationally, like, a phenomenon. She, it's... you can, you know, it's a dance vocabulary kind of improvisation that, you know, you could go anywhere, travel anywhere, and be able to improvise with a group of dancers because
it's a language. It's a vocabulary. It's a language.
Right. It's just a common language. So.
So whenever people see Ricardo and you guys do these routines where it looks where everybody's doing the same thing,
yeah,
it's this synchronized kind of thing. But sometimes it's everybody following the leader, kind of. Is that right?
Yeah. We took what Fat Chance did and then we expanded on it by bringing in other. Other theater techniques for improvisation, and but we basically work off of sight lines and just open communication. So, you know, most of our performances are improvised and you know, created in the moment as a response to what's happening musically, what's happening with. Amongst the dancers, so it's a conversation that's happening between the physical and the what you're hearing, and it's a true like aware in the moment conversation that's happening. So yeah, it's fascinating and you know just extremely fun.
Selena, when you danced with Ricardo, how much was it like what you sort of expected it to be, and how much did it turn into something that you didn't expect?
Well, I definitely didn't expect the uniqueness of the art form of improvisation. And as someone who's a little bit more shy about that kind of thing, definitely helped me learn to just be in the moment, because anything can happen and every performance is unique.
Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned that you're shy, and I'm always fascinated by like performers who are shy because, you know, I mean, you know, the dancers are pretty fetching really and wear just a variety of fabulous costumery, and you're performing and dancing in front of everybody and yet shy. So it's a funny girl power kind of thing. I mean, it doesn't have to be all girls, but...
Right. Yeah, we have some men who dance with us. But yeah, no, it is... I mean, it is an art form that is... One of its goals is specifically to elevate the female strength and sort of celebrate that that strength and power and beauty and... So yeah, and it is very like it changes you. It changes your perspective on your physicalness. It changes your perspective on other people's you know physicality. You begin to just develop this very high appreciation for many, you know, all types of bodies and. And it is, you know, it's a dance form that works on any age. So you have people of all different ages and personality types that are coming together and mixing. And I don't know, that's always been one of our big focus with the dance studio anyway, is, you know, the community and being able to create things that are accessible to so many, like, different types of people, you know, and bring them together in a way to, like, create in the moment. And it's very liberating, you know. It's you drop a lot of things that maybe you regarded on, you know.
You mean like from a personal journey standpoint?
It helps you sort of let go of some things. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a byproduct. I mean, most people come in because they're like curious, like, I want to learn how to belly dance, you know, and so they come in and very curious about that. And then what begins to happen and is a lot of times are things that they are byproducts that they never expected would happen, you know, mm-hmm. things that change in your perspective and in your well-being and all of that. So, you know, they're good byproducts, mm-hmm. you know.
Teresa Toom is here from Mecca, and Selena Arnett from the Leeds Theater. Let's take a little break and come back and talk some more about the collaboration you guys are working on, and whatever else it is that we come up with to talk about. What do you think about that? Does this sound like quite the plan?
Sounds like a great plan.
We will be back. This is Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. It is 8:30 in the a.m.
Sort of ish.
A track there from the artist Amr Diab, who is, I don't know,
Egyptian pop.
Yeah, pop Egyptian music. Pop. And I think that ties in some to the performance that you guys are doing. Although we're going to come back around to that.
Yeah, that's a song that Alma Gitana plays a lot, especially when they have George Joaquim with them.
Okay.
We dance to that song.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, we'll work our way back around to that, because you guys, I'm here with Teresa Toom of Mecca, and then also Selena Arnett of the Leeds Performing Arts Center. Is that what you guys are calling it?
It's Leeds Theater.
The Leeds Theater. Okay. In Winchester.
Yes.
And
right downtown.
And Selena, you've been, you're a longtime resident of Winchester. But I wanted to talk a little bit about your involvement with the Leeds and some of your efforts. You've spent many years coming to Lexington for your entertainment,
yes.
Probably like some niche of the population of Winchester, some niche, you know, coming to the big city for your entertainment.
Yes.
Winchester doesn't quite have the cachet of, say, you know, we're seeing a lot of this kind of like in Midway and Paris are seeing this kind of like this sort of boost in cachet that Winchester maybe doesn't quite have. Winchester's a little bigger than those places, though, too.
Yes, it's bigger, and we have had this venue for a while, for more than 20 years. It has been there as the seat of the Winchester Arts Council. A group of very passionate citizens came together in the mid-80s and purchased the old Leeds Theater downtown, which was a movie theater built in 1925. Mm-hmm. And it's this amazing Art Deco-style theater. You can still see...
It's a classic. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's got a lot of the original structure. They purchased it as just a group of volunteer citizens and made it the Arts Council. So it's been there for a while, but it has seen, as most places that are run purely on volunteer labor, mm-hmm. ebbs and flows of things going on there. And right now it's in the middle of a big resurgence mm-hmm. in attendance and just people interested in what's going on there.
And so so the Leeds Theater, I mean, are they... I've seen this happen, you know, obviously we've got with our own Kentucky Theater, which still principally shows movies, but then I'm from Owensboro and the Malco Theater there has persevered over the years and luckily not been torn down mm-hmm. and really doesn't show movies anymore at this point, and they do more kind of cultural things. And so is that what's happening with the Leeds too, or...
Yes. When it was redone in the 80s, they took the screen down and turned it into a theater stage. So they enlarged the stage and brought it forward. So it's definitely more suited to doing plays and live music. And it has amazing acoustics in the building. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's ever seen a live music there can attest to the fact that it's a wonderful place to listen to music.
And so, and then is that, you said it's experiencing kind of a renaissance. Has that been happening more and more?
Yes. There's a lot of people in the community that are passionate about bringing back the downtown, which is listed as one of the most beautiful downtowns in the United States. It has a unique downtown in that nothing has been updated.
I would call it idyllic. I would use the word idyllic.
Yeah, that's a better word.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, yeah, it looks like something out of a Thornton Wilder play or something. I mean, it's this sort of ultra Americana downtown.
Yes. And a lot of the people that have businesses downtown have been there for years. And some of them have seen new ownership. We just have an old hardware store that was completely redone in the same style of downtown hardware stores of times past. So it's,
and now it's a hardware store themed bar.
I wish.
Just yeah. Kidding. Sorry. Cause I'm sure those exist. But no, it's still a hardware store,
you're
right?
Hammered.
Yes. Still a hardware store.
Oh, <Don't like that. laughs> So like, yeah, so you've raised a son there.
Yes, three sons.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, and so family life for you guys. Like I said, you all used to come to Lexington.
Yeah,
a
we
lot,
used to
maybe,
come to Lexington and actually started, you know, looking for things for our kids to do, like Lexington Children's Theater. So when a group of people started doing that in Winchester, we thought we have to support this thing because it's exactly the kind of thing we want to see in our hometown.
And you weren't really seeing it before then, is what you're.
No. Yeah. There have been plays, but it kind of died off as those kids grew up and moved away. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of kids who started on that stage in the 90s, early 90s, and went on to work off Broadway. So, you know, it has produced some real talent. And the main thing that we care about right now is providing a place where our kids and people in the community can enjoy the arts and play and have fun and hear things that they may not get to hear and make sure they don't always have to go to Lexington to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you feel like that's kind of is Winchester the term that my friend and also radio host Rona Roberts, who hosts, just as a plug here, Hot Water Cornbread on Lexington Community Radio, the phrase that she uses sometimes is waking up. And she used it about Lexington. I always still get a little misty about that. And so I'm wondering if do you see Winchester as kind of waking up, maybe?
Yes, definitely. It is. And there have been so many other efforts besides at the theater. We've had a downtown revitalization projects that have happened. And we have some great organizations that basically will make people's ideas and dreams about the community happen. You can write an idea that you have into a grant, and they will fund it up to $10,000, and that's the Clark County, the Greater Clark Foundation in Clark County. And so basically one of the grants that we did recently was a digital art downtown rejuvenation project.
Okay.
So all of the business owners, we have a lot of empty storefronts, donated their space to put a digital art installation with a projector in mm-hmm. their window.
Okay.
So you could walk downtown any night during the fall and winter and see local art made by students in Clark County displayed on the side of a building or in a window. And a lot of people would go downtown and just walk the streets just to see this art installation.
That's cool. And then, well, that's really cool that's going on. And then at the Leeds, there's You're involved. You're involved with the Leeds officially, right?
Yes, I'm on the board of directors. Mm-hmm. We have an all volunteer base. Mm-hmm. Everything we do down there is staffed by the community.
Right.
And we came on about 2 years ago, and we had water coming in the roof, and in between performances, the kids would take mops and mop it up, and it was really sad. And the city, yeah,
but also kind of quaint.
Yes, yes, a very real performance. But we kind of started with the roof.
Okay.
How do we get the roof fixed? And we went before the city of Winchester, and they, along with the Greater Clark Foundation, helped us take care of that. And we now have a very dry building, and
double plus good.
Yes, and it's so dry that the plaster now is raining on us a little bit. But the exciting part about that is another anonymous donor came forward just this past year, in the past 6 months, to donate a total of $150,000 toward the renovation. So right now it's a little rough around the edges, but we are planning renovations for the fall.
Well, it sounds like there's people like yourself that want to see this happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we, you know, work really hard to make sure that we have things that the community wants, mm-hmm, there, and things to do.
Now, you guys, Teresa Tomb of Mecca and Selena, you guys have got this thing that you're doing together, kind of. It's maybe sort of an outgrowth of, you guys have worked together for a while.
Yeah. We've worked together for a long time, and I am very excited about the show that Teresa has put together, and she can definitely speak more to the talent that's coming. It's a unique collaboration of people from all over the world right here in Central Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the show we're doing this weekend is it's called We Dance, and it's a world ethnic dance exchange. And so the show is a collection of different dances representing many cultures around the world, and then live music. So we have Shuling Pfister, her group of Chinese dancers, and Lakshmi from the Shri Dance School is bringing her Bharatanatyam dancers.
Now, where are they from?
Bharatanatyam is a classical Indian form,
okay,
from the south of India.
Okay.
And then we have the Salsa Center. We'll be doing some salsa. And then we... Mecca is presenting an Algerian dance, Ulud Neli, and then some Hawaiian hula.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Flamenco Louisville will be here, and they'll be performing to live music from Alma Gitana and doing some flamenco numbers, Sevillanas and Alegrias and Bolerias. In the second half. The second half is all live music, and
makes the whole thing, I mean, every performance I've ever seen that Mecca kind of orchestrated, you know, where there's live music involved, it just takes it to a whole nother pitch.
Yeah,
you know, it's you really just feel like you're seeing something that's kind of unforgettable.
Right. And that's kind of the impetus behind the show was to present all these dances from many cultures, and being able to kind of take a moment and experience this sort of art form and this conversation that happens between the physical interpretation and the response to music. You know, we define ourselves culturally a lot by our art, and a lot of that is through our music and how we express ourselves in response to music. So so the show is kind of a representation of that, being able to experience that. And then, you know, the second portion of the show, my desire was that we present something that is like if you went into somebody's living room, you know, and a bunch of musicians and dancers got up and just started, you know, having a conversation and partying. So the second portion of the show represents that spontaneous energy and that, you know, really high energy conversation. So
is that what does this have anything to do with the Hafla? I see the term Hafla thrown around sometimes.
Well, yeah, I guess Hafla is an informal dance party.
Okay.
Basically. And so yeah.
But this is maybe more of an improvisation among professionals, if you will, on stage.
Right. Yes.
For the audience to watch.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So and then so for that you'll get to see some belly dance improvisation. You'll get to see many different styles of flamenco dances.
I would liken this to like a jazz a jazz cutting session, basically,
yeah.
Where like, you know, a group of jazz musicians, the way they talk to each other on stage, they could have never played with one another before,
right?
And step on stage and just have this crazy time, like improvising back and forth to one another or with one another, all that sort of stuff.
And I think this is that's very typical of any, you know, many musicians, you know, that will come together. You know, not even, you know, jazz, but it works in that same, you know, jazz is kind of like our American form of,
okay,
of that. And then, but you would see like Egyptian, musicians or whatever, you know, come together. They've never played together and, you know, they kind of start noodling around and getting a feel for each other. And then, you know, launch into, you know, full blown ensemble, it's all jazz, you
okay
know? So yeah,
so when is this going down?
This is Saturday,
okay,
the 23rd, July 23rd, at the Leeds Theater
at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock, mm-hmm, is the show time. And you can get tickets online. You can get tickets at the door.
Okay.
Winchester, I mean, what does it take, 10 minutes to get there?
Yeah, it takes 10 minutes. It's actually, I think, 13 minutes to be exact from downtown Winchester to Lexington. So
uh-huh, yeah,
we're just a hop, skip, and a jump down 64.
Yeah, and the Leeds is just, it's just an adorable theater. I remember, you know, you're talking about the plays and stuff. I saw my sister-in-law many years ago in Agnes of God there. And so, you know, I just remember going there to see plays and to be in there again. You know, I'm like, I just remember how much I love that space.
So. Plus, like, I mean, you know, 13 minutes later, you can sort of get out of town and go
right
to a different town.
Yeah.
And be walking around the sort of Americana main street of another town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Road trip
13 minutes to Winchester.
So that's
what?
Cool.
Mom, we're here already.
Let's see. So I know there's stuff on Facebook about it. If people want to find out about tickets, I mean, what's the best way online to find out more information about that?
They can just go to the website, which is leadscenter.org.
Okay. And that also has probably the rundown on other stuff that's going on there.
Yeah, we have lots of events coming up, too. We try and stay as busy as possible, and we love it when the theater is full and one group is coming in as another's leaving. And mm-hmm, we have plays and music and classes and all kinds of things. So check out the website.
What are Selena? What are you most excited about for tomorrow's or I'm sorry, Saturday's performance?
Well, I have to admit, I am a Ricardo fan, so I'm super excited about
an alum
having my friends be there and getting to share that art form with the community in Winchester. And also, I think all of us are excited any kind of collaboration where we have people from all different walks of life and background coming together to share their art forms with others. And I think, you know, everyone is going to have a real treat. Nothing like this has ever happened in Winchester that I know of. So this is a first-time thing, and we hope to make it a yearly thing.
Right. Are you relishing the prospect of selling some of your some of your friends in Winchester who maybe don't tend to
I think this is a little bit different than the things we typically have, the theater. We do a lot of theater, and so showing them this art form is going to be something new, and I think they're going to love it.
Yeah. Teresa, what are you most excited about Saturday's performance?
Just all the different groups coming together. This is a unique moment to see so many different cultural dance forms. So,
excellent. Well, you guys, very best wishes for that.